Blog Talk Radio.
I talked with a friend one day. He was on the corner and he couldn't show his face. He was hiding from the police and his own gang. The only choice he had was to die or to go to jail. With tears in his eyes, he said, I have failed. I did wrong and now the price I have to pay. Can't sleep, I can't eat, don't know what to say. Feel like my life is going straight down the drain. I feel for my children. I wasn't there for them, the only thing I gave was pain. I feel so ashamed. Don't know what to do, where to go, or who to talk to. So I'm asking you to pray. I know I'm nowhere with Jesus, but I still believe in His name. Jesus came yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus, early Saturday morning, saw a girl I used to know. So I stop and say good morning. Ask a girl, what's up? Been a while, how are you? She said things are not good. Sometimes I feel confused. I know you're not seeing me at church like I used to. I messed around and got AIDS and even got abused. Sometimes I feel like God don't love me anymore. Sometimes I wonder if I really have hope.
Honestly,
I feel like hanging myself with a rope. My faith is weak and my life is moving slow. So I said, there's hope in the name of Jesus. I said, there's hope in the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
I know that you can hear me.
I'm
bowing on my knees, yeah.
Miracle.
Father, don't give up the faith now.
Fight hard and walk your life.
Just trust in Jesus Christ.
He'll
make you right in time. I know I'm stuck in just the word of so much of a
trial.
When you look up in the sky, that's a lot to please in you. A miracle, yeah. Don't give up the faith now. Just trust in Jesus Christ. He'll make it right on time.
Every man, every woman, Lord, some of them are going through some stuff that is only you alone understand. But I pray, oh God, that you loose every burden. Cause your people to praise your name. Cause your glory, God, to shine like we have never experienced it before. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise. And everybody in the church shout a hallelujah. Clap your hands and praise God tonight. Shout a hallelujah in this place. Heaven's door is open. There's a glory in this place. Hell has to back off because of the power of the Almighty God that sweeps down in this.
All right, well, amen, everyone. Praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and I am glad to be back with each and every one of you out there listening. Tonight we're going to have Pastor Steve Lee, and he's going to be doing part 3 of his series on Yes, I Heard That. So this is going to be part 3 of his teaching. We would like to thank each and every one of you out there listening. Please, if you are, grab pen and paper as we get ready to dive into the teaching. If you have any questions or commentary, please email us at overtonnavy1@gmail.com if you have any questions or commentary that you would like to give. And also, I have a little bit of an emergency that I have to go and take care of. So if I am not back, Pastor Steve will close out the broadcast. And for those who are listening, if you had any questions, I might not be able to get you on tonight, but save those questions for next Monday, and we'll be able to get with you then. Now, without further ado, Pastor Steve Lee, and yes, I heard that.
Thank you again, Brother Mike. So I just want to go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I just ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, I would like to unpack something that I believe is so important to God that he put it in every single promise that he's ever made. And that is a yes. Yes is a simple word that needs our agreement to be fulfilled. The yes of God is waiting on you. The yes of God is waiting in you. The yes of God must be alive in you. For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God, unto the glory of God by us. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 20. And it's an interesting thing about a yes. Sometimes, you know, we want to agree, but we don't fully agree. Agreement can be done that way. You can partially agree in principle, or you can agree in part. And whichever part that you agree with, that's the part you can enjoy. That's the part that you can function in. And it's an interesting thing because we think that the yes of God has to be earned. But the yes of God came from God. It didn't come from you. I'm trying to talk to you about the yes of God, okay? His position on the thing. And his position on the thing so that we can understand and put this reference in our heart and minds. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The yes of God did not wait on you to do the right thing. The yes of God was initiated by him. You know, God is calling us into that which he has provided. He's not trying to call you into that which you have earned. I would like for you to take the time to write that down. He's inviting you into that which he has provided, not into that which you have earned. See, if you would approach the thing from that position, then you will not miss out on the yes of God. Okay, it's interesting. The yes is an affirmation, and it causes victory in my life. The universal sign for yes is a nod of the head, and the direction of that nod always moves up and down. It's an elevation. My head goes up as I look at things to come. And then I bring my head down with the confident resting as I return to the place that I am. It's interesting today when I was kind of just going over this, I noticed that the yes of God, when I use the nod, if you would, my nod only goes up and stops about halfway down. My nod does not go down to the floor. I don't look down to receive the yes from God. I look up to receive the yes from God, and then I come back to the place of confidence in the place where I am. That's center, if you would. I look up, nod, and come back to the center. I don't go to the floor and then try to gain my blessings from the floor up. Okay, I will just throw this out there, that if I'm looking from the floor up, that's the place where the devil can mess it up, confuse it, and cause me to miss. But if I keep my head up and bring it back to the center, now my expectation comes back down with me before I meet all of the confusion that the enemy could set my way. See, because my agreement, the way it is set up, my agreement comes through what I'm looking at. Okay? It comes through perception. And if I'm looking down, then I don't positionally hold my heart in the place of expectation. All right? But if I look up and then come back to where I was when I began to look up, then I can with confidence rest there. Because I know God is now working all things together for my good. Okay? My expectation and my understanding will determine my motive, my motion, and my direction. Okay? God is always calling us to higher. He's calling us to increase. He's calling us to victory. The nod of agreement is always on a predetermined path, up, then down. Psalms 24, verses 7 through 9, gives us a glimpse of how God wants to approach our future and our destiny. Psalms 24, verse 7. He says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. The word Selah means to pause and calmly think about that. If you will notice, what he told you to do is to lift up your heads, and then when you bring your head back to the center, he says, now think about that. It's interesting. Come on, come on. If you lift up your heads, there are promises that he gives you. He gives you entrance into the yes of God. He wouldn't tell you yes and then tell you to look someplace else for the answer to the yes. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and then you will be lifted up, because you will be connected to, I love the phrase, everlasting doors. Glory to God. Beloved, I don't care what the frustration, problem, and situation is. God says his yes comes through everlasting doors. Hallelujah. And it comes through with his assistance. Remember, we are co-laborers with God. In other words, whatever God's working on, he wants you to work on. He does not want you to work on something he's not working on. The yes from God, he wants to work on that yes with you. He wants to build you up. Notice what he said, just so that you can see this. He said, "Lift up your heads, and then you will be lifted up." Okay? In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified." The thing God wants us to do is to participate in the yes, the lifting up of the head, and then bringing that revelation, that inspiration, that expectancy into the place where you now exist. We have to begin to practice biblical principles. See, God did not tell you to look out, beloved. He told you to look up, okay? Why? Because if you have a yes that is confirmed in your spirit, when you start walking out that yes, you become the one that moves from the position of victory, not trying to move to the position of victory. You can write that down. God wants you to move from the position of victory. He's not trying to get you to move to the position of victory, because he's already given you the victory. Now, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. Okay, if we would let the word be settled that he gave us, let the yes be received in our spirit and then walked out because we received it. It's very hard, and I'm going to bring that up in just a minute. It's very hard for us to try to continue to do the same thing and expect different results. The definition of that is insanity. So then if I'm going to receive a yes, then I have to function from the position of the yes, not still trying to get the yes. All right, I'll just ask you to do this. You're in your house. I'm going to just ask you to take a breath. Now, when you take that breath, I want you to consider what just happened. You're not still trying to get a breath after you've taken the breath. That breath is already inside. The answer to "I need air" has already been given. You have already breathed in. Now, the job is to utilize that breath to the best of your ability. Not try to go find that breath. You already have that breath. He's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He didn't say, "I'm going to try to give to you the things that belong to life and godliness." He's already, past tense, given us those things. See, we don't approach God in honesty. I do understand that you try to attach humility to it so that you won't get in pride. I get that. I understand that. But I would ask you the question, as that has been your position of faith, where has that taken you? I didn't say, "How did that make you feel?" I asked, "Where has it taken you?" And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He didn't say, "And this is the good feeling." See, we are supposed to walk in victory. He has called us unto victory. He has made us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. We're the ones that are, from Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're the ones that are supposed to lend unto many nations and not borrow. We're the ones that's supposed to give testimony that God is our God. They're supposed to be so aware that God is our God, they become afraid of you. They say, "Well, okay, I'm not going to mess with him. I'm not going to try to hinder him. He can help me, but I will not try to hinder him." Why? Because the Lord God is with him. See, we don't have that testimony developed, body of Christ. I mean, again, when you see and understand Scripture correctly, you will position yourself so that you will always expect victory to be made manifest. I didn't say you would always expect victory in the great by and by. No, I've learned that this word that God sent to us is some ham where I am. It's some steak on my plate. It's not just pie in the sky. This life, that's what Jesus said. Please, I'm just taking scripture that you already know and trying to make it come alive. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have that life more abundantly. He did not say, I am come that you might think about life. He said, I am come that you might have it. See? I'm trying to help us to grow up to the place where we walk in the position that Jesus left us for. And now, brethren, I commend you unto the word, unto God, unto the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Again, he did not say make you think about an inheritance, give you a goosebump about an inheritance. He said, I'm here so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Please, beloved, do not consider what I'm saying as a possessionary position. No, it's not. I'm not trying to get you to be the one that brags because of what your God has done. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in you being the one that's able to say, because God has done, I can now do. You know, it's real hard for you to lend to many nations and not borrow if you haven't paid your bills, if you haven't paid your debt. Because then the first thing you're going to think about is, well, what about me? I want you to be so in touch with the promises of God, with the yes of God, that you are able to then give the way he says you should. You can't give unto people if you don't have it. If you're living in debt, how can you bless someone else? If you're living in debt, technically, if you're living in debt, you are a robber. You can't give because that which you live by is debt. Okay? Just begin to frame your heart that, God, you want me out of this so that you can bless through me without limit, without restraint. God is interested in that, and particularly as we enter into the seasons that we, and I'm not talking about Christmas, I'm talking about the seasons of lack that is coming upon the face of the earth. The body of Christ is the one that's supposed to have answers, not the one that's supposed to be looking for answers. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. And when you do this, the kingdom of glory shall come in. He didn't say the king of poverty shall come in. I mean, I just want you to understand. And it's an interesting thing. A lot of times when you see the word glory in the Bible, it is referring to that which is tangible, even money. There is a glory that is tangible that he wants to be able to release. It's going to be both. I get that. But the thing that it says in Habakkuk chapter 2, it says that the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That's a different type. See? Because people don't want to know what you know until they know how much you care. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you're just going to pray for them and say, be clothed, be warm, they don't want to know that. Because you haven't shown them that you care about the condition that they're in by removing them from the condition. Okay? I mean, we shouldn't just continue to have an ethereal relationship with God. God wants to be known. He wants to be experienced. He wants to be touched. He came so that he can touch you because he was touched with the feelings of your infirmities. See, it's not just going to be a goosebump here. There has to be something that's tangible that causes the people to say, you know what, I need the God that can deliver, not the God that makes me feel good only. I have no problem with him touching your emotions. I have no problem with that. But he said to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you shall be a blessing. He didn't say, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to talk about blessing. Abraham was known as the richest man in the land. Okay? And you have been made an heir to that. I just want you to, again, let's reposition our hearts, because if we're going to take territory for Jesus, then we're going to have to represent Jesus. We're going to have to represent Jesus, not represent religion. Religion does not have answers. Religion might make you feel good, but it doesn't have answers. Jesus is wanting answers, because he's going to say things. This was the question that he's going to ask us when he comes back. Where were you when I was hungry? Excuse me. If you're hungry, you do not need a prayer that does not produce results. Amen. Where were you when I was naked? You don't need a prayer that's going to leave you in the same condition. Just because I said amen in a real holy sounding way. No, you're going to need clothing. You're going to need food. You're going to need a place to stay. Those are the questions that he asks when he comes back, when he finds faith in the earth. Where were you when I? See? He's not going to say, how did you? Okay, come on. I hear it, I say it. He's not going to ask you, how did you feel when I asked you that? He's going to say, where was tangibility? Because if you've done it unto the least of these who are my brethren, then you've done it unto me. I mean, would you just tell Jesus, oh, Jesus, you know everything going to be all right? That's what he's asking. Or would you get involved with the thing? See? Again, if you just going to say be clothed and don't give the man no clothes, that religion is in vain. What he says in the book of James. I'm just quoting it. He says, faith without tangible works, faith without stuff that is in agreement with how you had your heart positioned, he said, that is dead. It's left alone. See, we're trying to get to the yes of God, and the yes of God is going to meet your needs and the needs of those that are around you. Because that's how you cause people to be led to the saving knowledge of your Lord and Savior. And as we get into the days that we're in now, as we get deeper into these days, people are going to be looking for answers. Beloved, this is why you have a crime and sin on the rampage. Because there are no answers in manifestation. When Jesus walked the earth, he brought deliverance with him. People that were blind could see. And if they had issues with seeing correctly, Jesus stayed with them and made sure they saw things correctly. See, we've got to go. If we're going to represent Jesus, then we cannot represent an idea of Jesus. We have to represent the one that is able to deliver by many or by few, not the one that just wants to talk about deliverance. We want to bring that into the forefront, into manifestation. He needs that. If he didn't want that, just so that we see it, then the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter would not have been able to affect change in the lives of those that were under oppression. Peter was walking down the street, going to get some bread. He was not walking down the street going to have a healing meeting. He was simply walking down the street, living life, and his life that he was living in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit of God. It changed people. It said that people that were touched by the shadow of him walking down the street got healed. It didn't say they got prayed for. It said they were made whole. They got healed. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. And the everlasting doors, then the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord that's strong and mighty to do this type of battle. He's not weak in this battle. He's not weak in deliverance. See, this is the nod. This is the yes that God wants you to enter into. Information from God comes along with inspiration. Information from God comes along with inspiration and the ability to execute his battle plan. And this battle plan is not weak. It's not a plan that will waste your time. It's a plan for victory. And it starts with an elevated examination or an elevated gaze, an elevated look. Lift up your head. An elevated view causes me to lift up my head and be lifted up, to see portals that are now open to me, doors that are open to me, avenues that are open to me. When I look up, I have established I have established entrances. Glory to God. That's good, because if I have an established entrance, then not only can I come in, but I can bring others in. Or I can do what Jesus said, when I come through the door, I can come in and go out and find pasture. Glory to God. When I let him come in, I will be able to go in and out and find supply, find substance. And the reason I can go in and out is because I can go in and then receive, go out and distribute. I can cause the cycle of grace to be completed. Grace was not so that I can consume it upon my lust. Grace was so that I can find it and then transfer it. That's why he said to us on his way up to heaven, going back to the Father, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you who have come in, I want you to go out and make disciples. Teach them to observe what I told you. I want you to come in and go out. See? When you tap into the yes of God, it empowers you, so that you can then make a difference in the world, not just talk about a difference. See, we have tried to exist in what we knew as Christianity on a once-a-week basis when we go to the house of God. No, he wants you to take what was in the house and transfer it. Bring it to the people that need light. Those that sit, that's what it said, those that sit in darkness are supposed to see a light. They're supposed to see answers in your life. But we are just saying, well, you know, I'm waiting on God. No, actually, beloved, God is waiting on you. Remember, I said that the yes of God lives in you. The yes of God must be alive in you. The yes of God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. The yes is waiting on you. I would like you to look at the yes of God as a roadmap rather than a claim ticket. Okay? That's possibly what we've done. We've looked at the yes of God as a claim ticket. I know God loved me because of I got. No. I need for you to look at the yes of God as a roadmap. the thing that orders your steps. Come on now. If he said the steps of a righteous man are ordered, glory to God. Whoa, did you just see that? He says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. If you use the yes of God as a roadmap, then you will have someplace to go. Is that correct? You will have an assignment. Is that correct? But if I use the yes of God just to be a claim ticket so that I can get what I need, then I didn't understand the yes of God. See, because it says all of the promises of God are yes in him, are amen in him. Through us, they should bring glory to God. Through us, they should. Come on, let's just look at what it says. For all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. See, he's looking for, if you would, we can say it the way Coca-Cola said it, no deposit, no return. He's looking for the return on his investment. He gave you the things that would cause people to then come to him. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will then draw all men unto me. Again, if we don't have evidence, tangible evidence, who do you think will come? Or we can look at it this way. Because we didn't have this evidence, we can see all the people in the world that didn't come. Beloved, that's our fault. That's our wake-up call. Psalms 2 tells you, he says, ask me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. So that we haven't been according to what he said, and his, if he be lifted up, he will draw them, then we haven't been doing our part, because we see more of the resistance to the kingdom of God than we do those that want to enter in. That would be on our light. That's why he said, let your light so shine. Because if you let your light so shine, then men will see your good works and they will glorify God. They will have conversations about God. You won't even have to initiate the conversations of heaven. It says that if you would allow him to do what he wants to do through you, they'll see your good works and they will glorify God. I mean, that's why it's been difficult for us to go and witness, because we haven't let the light shine. We haven't let the light so shine that that takes place by itself. Because we were still trying to get our needs met, we're trying to get our things worked out, that we didn't get to the place of so shine. We just had a little shine, a small shine. He didn't say do it in a little bit. He said, let your light so shine. And I understand that my witness is also my communication with my heart's position. I got that. But as we enter into the days that are as wicked as they are, we're going to have more than etherical positionings, posturings. We're going to have to bring some evidence. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, he brought evidence. He said, I know y'all are halt between two opinions. I know that. But I tell y'all what, we're going to resolve that today. The God that answers is the God of heaven and earth, the God that answers, not the God that you keep talking to, but you don't hear nothing. The God that answers, because they were all trying to find God. They were doing all kind of stupid stuff to find him. They were cutting themselves. They were inflicting pain so that they would think God was pleased with the pain that they inflicted on themselves, and now they would get an answer. That's a form of idolatry. Self-idolatry. I'm going to get God to move. The yes came from God, beloved. It did not come from you. It was not because you deserved it or you earned it. It was because his great love. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. It wasn't because of your presentation. It was because, okay, Sue, that's so good, God. It was not because of your great dissertation and presentation. It was because of who you presented. not how you presented it. That's what we've done in the body of Christ to cause injury. We thought it was in the how we presented the thing. No, it was always been in who you presented. The healings that took place in the book of Acts, it was done because they presented Jesus. And the people that arrested them took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. See? It was in who was presented, not how it was presented. Because it said about them, they knew that they were ignorant and unlearned men. So they did not present it on the basis of education, of intellect. They represented Jesus based on intimacy. They knew that they had been with Jesus. See, my yes affects the rest of the earth. Because if he's lifted up, he will then draw all men unto him. The yes of God is a roadmap. It gives us our assignment, not just to give us our possession. If you would look at the yes of God as a roadmap, then you will know that when I got whatever the answer was from God, that it should cause me to go and do. And I'm not talking about works, beloved. I'm talking about a thank you. Glory to God. A thank you can be seen. But a thank you was not my motivation. A thank you is an outgrowth. It's a response. Wow, okay, wow. Thank you to the yes is an investment. It is not the testimony. Oh, that'll preach right there. We've used our thank you as the testimony. The thank you should not be a testimony. It should be an expression of a release that we have already given honor to God. We mess things up in the body of Christ. We've got praise services that we go and tell everybody about the goodness of God, but we leave that praise service mad and frustrated with the person that gave a testimony too long. It don't take all that. Excuse me, it was a praise service. Everything in me should give praise. Every breath. If I got breath, I should be praising. How you going to tell me the praise service was too long? Was I still breathing? I tell you, we have messed it up. We use our thanks as a testimony for other people to be a witness that God loves me. And it should have been an invitation into it. If I be lifted up, then I will draw men. Oh, glory to God. See, if I'm giving thanks correctly, then my thanksgiving will bring people in. My thanksgiving will not be an opportunity for me to brag. But if you go back in your experience, and I'm probably sure, you can find that most of the praise and thanksgiving that you heard sounded like, looked like a place of bragging, self-grandizement, if you would. Some of it even made me feel bad. Because I couldn't say that about my relationship with God. So then I would stand off because God's not I'm not good enough for God to do anything for me. I left. Yes, I did. I can remember leaving some of those sessions feeling more unworthy because I couldn't say this is what God is doing in my life. There was never supposed to be a testimony from that position. It should be always everything. Please, beloved, as you see Jesus on the cross, notice the positions of his hands. They were open to receive. His arms were stretched out, open to receive. Even in his death, there was an invitation to whosoever will. Oh, good God Almighty. See, it didn't say for whosoever can, it said for whosoever will. See, because if I'm bragging and showing you that you got to be like me, then it's whosoever can. But the invitation that Jesus laid on the cross was for whosoever will. All you have to have in that response is a desire. And then God works the things out. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And I know that, you know, these scriptures have been presented and made you feel good while you were there. But he's wanting to have an entrance so that people can come in and go out. You know, the way heaven thinks is to get heaven on earth. That's what Jesus told us to pray. He said, this is what you pray in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth the same way it's done in heaven. In other words, let heaven pour out upon the earth. Use me to be the one that releases heaven on earth. That's the way heaven thinks. God is wanting people to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's the one inviting. He compelled us to go into the places where there were pain, the places where there was struggle, the places where there was lack. He said, compel them to come in. Don't make them think they got to get ready to come. Compel them to come in, because everything they need is already in the house. What I need is people in the house so I can bless the people, so that I can empower the people, so that I can encourage the people. I need the people here with me. That's the eternal question in heaven. Who shall you send? Who will go for us? And body of Christ, since Jesus answered, we are to represent him. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to compel them to come in. Why? Because God is here, alive to answer, alive to bless. He's mighty in this battle. He's strong and mighty in this. The yes of God is a roadmap, because it is an all-inclusive, unchangeable, never failing, never fading, guaranteed plan. For in this plan, the yes of God, he grants us permission to the promise, provision through the promise, provides direction and safe travel by the promise. If he's providing safe travel, come on, y'all, I hadn't thought about that. Jesus said, when you come in, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why would he have to say that if you are just getting your need met and staying inside the house? Hello? So the travel was for you to go back out. And then when you go out, you say, they might not understand. That's all right. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I can speak for what we see in the condition of the world today. We stayed in the house. We've been keepers of the castle, keepers of the aquarium. Okay, let's do it that way. We've been keepers of the aquarium, not fishers of men. Because I'm supposed to go out and compel them. Show them that the God that introduced love to us requires us to love through what we have received. I don't make them compete to be like me. That's what the world does. You know, trying to be like Mike. No, I want to be like Christ, who simply is a lover of men, who simply is a giver unto men, who sacrifices all so that men can come to the place where they can enjoy all. Wow, that was powerful. He sacrificed all so that men can come to the place where they will enjoy all. Wow. If that hasn't been my motivation, then I haven't been the one that has understood the love of God that was shed abroad in my heart. Okay? I was rather stirring up the love of me so that I can be happy with all my heart. But if I understand the love of God that was shed abroad in my heart, that the love of God compels me to say, I need for y'all to be here. I will give all so that you can come into all and learn how to enjoy all. I just don't know that that's been the body of Christ's testimony. See, so the yes of God, that should be alive in us. It's a little bit different. He wants us to be able to be one that is a conduit. We need to consider the yes of God as a roadmap and not a plane ticket. My yes announces my agreement. And if I have an agreement, then I must have active motion toward that which I have agreed to. When we say yes, we become active in the promise. Come on. We become active in the promise, not just happy for the promise. Not one that holds on to the promise or looks at it fondly. A promise that's just held in my hand is a good point of view. That's all it is. If I just hold on to the promise, I don't do nothing with the promise. It just becomes a good point of view. A promise that's just in my head becomes a waste of time. Because a promise was not supposed to be in my head. It was supposed to be active in my heart. And if it's active in my heart, motion should take place. Faith without works is dead because it's left in a place that is empty, vanity. It's a waste of time. The promise that's active causes you to move. Live faith, faith that is connected to God, moves both heaven and earth. It moves God and you. You bring a promise to him, and he brings it to pass. Motion is what you see. His word will now return to him void. So if my yes does not have action, then my yes is still just a want to be. I want stuff to be here. I want this to work. I want to get, no. Faith that is alive, a yes that is alive has to have motion. If you don't have motion to the faith, it is basically just a good idea or mental ascension. Yes is not the possession. Yes is in the position of heart that now actively pursues or activates the promise in accordance with the directions that were given in the promise. If I'm going to try to live in the promise, I've got to live by what the promise set as parameters. If he said that I have to open up my heart so that all can come in, so that they can be blessed by all, so that they can live in all, then I'm going to have to start opening up my understanding of the word all, that three-letter word there. See? God gave all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. He gave his all. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but they would be able to enjoy all. That's just the way heaven thinks. And if we're going to represent heaven, we have to think that way. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and I brought back to her remembrance the lady with the tomb that she put in the offering. And Jesus, looking at the offering that she brought, said, this lady gave of her all. See, what we do when we become religious in our thinking is we give what we've already given out so that God gets his, the job gets theirs, the bank gets, see? No, this lady gave of her all. And from what I can see in the Bible, That was the last time she was mentioned, because that's the last time she was broke. I will just submit that one to you, because this is what it says in Galatians. It says that, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, for God is not willing to do without a cheerful giver, but is able to make all grace abound towards you. So here's this widow woman that gave of her all, and she was a cheerful giver. God then, by his word, by his standard, by the way he sees things, he opened up to her all. And we never see her again as a widow woman without supply. If Jesus was, come on now, come on, come on. If Jesus was looking at what you gave, if he was looking at your offering, there had to be a reason why he was looking at your offering. He wasn't looking at your offering to critique you. He was looking at your offering to bless you, to open up all to you. Glory to God. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, and the King of glory shall come in. He's strong and mighty in the battle. This. See? Yes, it's not the possession. Yes, it's the position of heart that actively pursues the promise in accordance with the directions given in the promise. That's why God sent his word as guidelines, so that we would know two things. We would know the direction in which we should go and how to get there. Now, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things. He wants you to know how to get there, what to expect when you get there. See, your agreement determines, sets in motion your purpose, your path, your timing. Your yes sets that in motion. If you will love the Lord your God with all, then he opens up all to you. If your compass is set a little off besides all, to the left of all, then that's where you're going to go. You will end up a little left of all. Okay? So I just say what I hear. If you don't give, if you don't go after all because all is there the right way, then you're going to be left of all. Or you'll be in the leftovers, not in the overflow. Okay, the leftovers, the way I understand it, leftovers and overflow are two different things. The leftovers is that which has already been used and is just about to be used up. It is leftover. But the overflow is a continuous thing. It is out of a flow that continues, and it pushes over more than it could contain. It's not left over, it is overflow. God wants us to live in the overflow. See, but we have not entered into all from that position, so we don't get to live in the overflow. We try to live in that which is left over. And the choice is yours, whichever one you want to. God's not going to be mad at you because you decided to live in the leftover. But he's inviting you to live in the overflow. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, ye everlasting doors. He wants you to live in the overflow, the place where you can find the King of glory, where you give him access into your heart. When you lift up your hands, when you nod yes, then you are opening up your heart to all, and God can cause you to enjoy all, and then you will be able to be a blessing to all, because you lifted up your head, because you purpose that I'm going to allow God to know the yes that's in my heart. My yes was not for my possession. My yes was for the position of my heart. Yes, God, I will give. Yes, God, I will serve. Yes, God, I will love. That's the position of my heart. And God's not willing to do without a cheerful giver, and is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you will always, in every situation, have more than enough. Reveal to every good work and charitable donation. This is the yes of God. Yes, I heard that. The yes of God is waiting on you. The yes of God is waiting in you. The yes of God must be alive in you. For all of the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. To the glory of God by us. I noticed that the yes of God here has four things. This invitation is the first thing. He's invited us into the yes. And this invitation has a pre-selected location, which is in him. The place of peace, joy, and victory. It has agreement that's required both in our spirit and in our minds. It has an active response, active participation, because we are co-laborers with God. And then it has a release of glory to God. God has put a yes in every promise, and his yes has a twofold purpose: to give him glory and to bless the one that agrees. Any yes that does not do that is not the yes of glory. It's not the yes of God. We've been called to release the manifold glory of God, not in pride or in vain glory, but as those that agree with his word, his spirit, his plans, his ways. Those that know that our victory is found in the place of surrender, the place where victory has been given to us because we agree with him, not because we deserve it, not because we work for it, but in the place that our breath, our God, and our desire has become one. That's the place where your yes becomes active, because all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you for your word that gives us inspiration, direction, purpose, that gives us understanding, because you put a yes in your word for us, a yes that moves us to action, that inspires us with revelation and understanding, that gives us your viewpoint of a yes, that is not just for our possession, but it's the position of our heart, a position that you can smile on that says, I'll go, I'll do, I'll serve. I'll give thanksgiving because of a God that gave me a yes. Thank you, Father, that as we hear the yes, agree with the yes, walk in the yes, make the yes alive in us, that you will empower your word as you bring your word to pass through us and receive glory by us. We commit it to you now, it's done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, beloved, that's our time. I don't have access to the dashboard, so you can keep your email your requests, questions to us, and we'll try to get them answered next time. Until the next time we are together in the presence of the Lord to be strengthened with might in the inner man, I bid you Godspeed. Amen. Shalom.